And since 2008, the world economy is heading downhill. But some think tanks are trying to solve this problem by identifying common ground in Africa, in which the major investing countries like China, US can collaborate together to work with African countries. Do you think with Trump's willingness to cooperate with China, could the hypothesis turn to reality someday under the Belt and Road?
Well, I hope so. The United States has important strategic interests in this part of the world, and at times it's had cooperative relationships with China, and at times it has competitive relationships with China, but we have mutual interests that are very significant. I think that became apparent when the two presidents met in Mar-a-Lago. The relationship is just too important to have it fail in any way. So each of us have a real commonality of interest, and Belt and Road shouldn't be seen, I hope, too much in a political context, but rather as complementary to trying to build economies around the world, and particularly economies like in Africa, which are developing and need help. And those economies, once they're developed, will benefit both the United States and China. And when you look at where most of poverty exists around the world and some of our biggest challenges in both poverty alleviation and global health, you have to look at Africa first. You have huge opportunities in Africa, but you also have right now enormous challenges. And the United States has played, particularly over the last 10 years, a very important role in improving health in Africa. The PEPFAR initiative that was actually begun under a Republican president, George W. Bush, and carried forward under President Obama, and from all the early indications of the new budget that will come out from President Trump, it will be continued in his new budget. The commitment by the United States to improving global health, because we recognize that it's at the base of what we need to do to have development, I think will continue. And as even before Belt and Road, China has been quite active throughout Africa. I go to Africa regularly. I see Chinese everywhere I go. And Chinese have decided to really focus on infrastructure. They have recognized, which is true, that until Africa meets its infrastructure needs, things like ports and roads and energy, that it can't develop, just as health is so fundamentally important. By the way, also food and agriculture is vitally important. So it strikes me that those are sort of the building blocks, if you will, for developing economies. And both the United States, with much of its expertise and resources, and China, with its expertise and resources, can, in fact, really make a difference in Africa. And whether or not they coordinate their policy somehow, or whether it really comes about as a result of where their own respective interests lie and strengths lie, the outcome, I think, will be good for Africa. And I hope that both countries, in fact, increase their commitment to the continent.
As far as I know, actually, the Chinese government also sent a lot of medical teams to African countries. And also, Mr. Trump, in his own words, he's good at building things.
That's right. So maybe they can help each other out.
Yes.
I hope so.
And do you think what's the core interest of U.S. and how it's different from the China's interest in Africa?
But I don't think there's a fundamental difference in interests. I do think that the conventional thinking is that China has a greater interest in Africa for its natural resources because China needs natural resources. And the conventional thinking is that the United States' interest in Africa has a lot to do with security interests, particularly in the parts of Africa that are currently going through civil strife where there's a good deal of recruitment of terrorists. And the fact is, yes, we both have those respective interests, but we have broader interests as well. And it's in both countries' interests, both the U.S. and China, to have strong, vibrant economies there because they'll be good trading partners. It'll provide for a more stable continent. And stability, you know, operates to the benefit of the world's first and second largest economies.
To what extent will business deals are influenced by U.S. regional strategic consideration in this area? Can they truly separate the business deals with political interests?
Well, I think I can speak for many of our U.S. multinational clients who are doing business in Africa, and they're making investment decisions in Africa just like they would make investment decisions anywhere else. You know, they want to be able to see the return on investment. They're not going into it as a charity. They're going into it as a business proposition, and they want to know that they're going to be able to get a return. And I'm sure that will continue, and most, at least, of the American companies, certainly the ones that I've dealt with, have shown very little interest in trying to pursue some kind of political agenda.
Do you have any suggestions on how should China and the U.S. cooperate in this region?
I think that cooperating in global health is very, very useful. And we can do that either on a bilateral basis or oftentimes, even more importantly, on a multilateral basis through institutions like the World Health Organization. So I think health is one area of mutual interest where we can cooperate. Another is agriculture. There has been recently a transaction in China where ChemChina purchased Syngenta. Syngenta has very important markets in Africa. There are multinational institutions like AGRA and others that are deserving of support from both the United States and China. And I think both countries have an interest in making sure that there's food security on the continent. Because without food security, that's truly the base of what's needed for development, is to make sure you can feed your people. And then I think there'll be some, but I think we have to be realistic about how much is feasible, but there'll be some cooperation, I hope, in the area of infrastructure. We have large players. The United States has very large players like GE, for example, in energy. And China is an important player in that field as well. And we have also in the United States developed plans through an organization called our Millennial Challenge Corporation, MCC, which work with countries like Tanzania and others that want to develop sort of comprehensive national plans for economic development. And once those are developed, all sorts of countries, not just the United States and China, but European countries that have historically had an interest in Africa and others, can participate in a way that's organized against a much more comprehensive economic plan for a country. So I think there will continue to be areas where we can cooperate.